Those who are seers of truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. Text 17. That which pervades the entire body, you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul. Okay, so let's review text 16. Any points? Anybody who attended last week? Text 16. What did we discuss in text 16?
Soul is eternal, body is temporary. You need to remove the ignorance to be able to recognize the relationship with the God.
Basically, you need to have knowledge, you need to build the knowledge to remove that ignorance.
So what did we discuss about? One can understand the nature of the Supreme by thorough study of oneself. The difference between oneself and the Supreme Being understood as the relationship between the part and the whole. So what does that mean? One can understand the nature of the Supreme by thorough study of oneself.
We are also having the same qualities, but in minute quantities.
So if you want to understand Krishna's behavior characteristics, like if we have any propensities or whatever, we can understand that Krishna also has all of them. It's all we have it because he has it, like enjoying propensity or anything, like becoming angry, there is transcendental anger also, all those things Krishna also has.
And why does in text 16, right, in the last line it says Tattva Darshi Bibi? So why Krishna says those who are seers of truth? So why did, what's the significance of that? Tattva Darshi, we discussed about that, right? We gave reference also to another verse.
They realized, those who are realized,
so basically tattva means absolute truth, right? Absolute truth, like in the three features of absolute truth. So we covered that one also, Brahman, Paramatma and
Bhagavan.
So those, that encompasses the whole absolute truth. Usually we, God means, we have a conception that God means a controller, but here it's more than a controller, not just a controller. It's God means it's more than a controller, just a controller, right? Living entities, God, relationship between them, devotional service. There are a lot of things.
So the absolute truth has everything.
Yeah, like three features different. Maybe you can.
In definition, absolute truth means that from which everything emanates. Right? That's why we discussed, right? In the introduction, we discussed what's the difference between God and absolute truth. Yeah. God means the concept of controller, but absolute truth is even more encompassing, that is from which everything emanates. So absolute, we discussed in second chapter, second verse, right? Three phases of realizing the absolute truth. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So what is the example we discuss?
Sun and the sun's disk and the rays.
Yeah, sunshine is by Brahman, and then sun disk
is
and
the
sun planet, yeah.
Paramatma
and sun planet, sun god, everything is Bhagavan.
So in this, mainly the gist is, like, one, we should approach some realized person. Also we spoke last week, we spent a lot of time on this. So we should not be listening to somebody who is not Krishna conscious or God consciousness. What happens if he listens to everybody and anybody? What's the effect of it?
Misunderstanding.
No, we pointed one thing very important in last week. If you listen to somebody, like everybody and anybody,
it will
impact us. Like,
it will affect our consciousness.
We'll get,
it will affect our consciousness.
So that was the important. So whatever the speaker has the consciousness, that consciousness directly enters into your heart. That's why hearing is very important. So if you listen to everybody, then their consciousness enters into your heart, even without your knowledge. Basically, that's how powerful the hearing process is. That's why devotional is meant for, like, you know, Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting the holy names. That's powerful hearing is. So when we hear, that directly goes into the heart, so that forms the conceptions. Basically, all misconceptions when you hear to somebody. That's why Prabhupada Krishna says, seers of truth means who is self-realized. And we quoted text 434. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena seveya. That's also a reference quote we quoted for this one. Tattva darshibi. Why we should listen.
What is it verse? Other verse?
220.
434.
220. Yeah, just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master.
Yeah. So that you can read later, yeah, but that's how the essence is. You should listen. And the other thing is, here Krishna is concluding, like, about the body and the spirit soul. So that's why he is differentiating it. One is eternal and the other is temporary. Text 16.
So why, how, what did Krishna do to help remove the ignorance? Ignorance has to be removed, right, in order to understand the Supreme Lord. So Krishna did something to help remove the ignorance.
Give knowledge.
Give but last two lines.
Last two lines.
He says, you know, he Lord teaches the Bhagavad Gita for the enlightenment and of the all living entities to drive away such ignorance.
So basically Arjuna was completely bewildered and we are also in the same condition. So that's why Krishna is teaching Bhagavad Gita forever. Like, you know, whoever is in the same bewildered condition, everybody can get enlightened.
So that's what's the implication of this verse for Arjuna? Like, why is Krishna telling this verse?
I think this distinguishing between the soul and the material body.
No, I think in the beginning he had said that these kings have lived, you know, forever and, you know, so never have they not ceased to exist. I think this is kind of supporting that. He's actually saying the perishable body is temporary, but the soul is proven to be, there is the non-existent material body, there is no endurance, so actually it doesn't endure. And that of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. So basically he's saying the soul actually is, he talks about the soul having the persona that actually lives through ages, right? It's not like the personality changes.
So he's specifically saying to Arjuna that, you know, body, whatever you do, it's going to deteriorate. So whether you fight and kill in the war or you just leave them also, anyway they're going to die.
Yeah.
At the same time, because they're souls, they're going to always live. You're not killing them as a soul. So in both the points, you know, you should be fighting now.
Yeah. So text 17. That which pervades the entire body, you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul. So what's the main gist of here? So there text 16 was, he was differentiating. But text 17 is specifically about
No, 17 was about soul, and we talked about the house, Paul.
So yes, Prabhupada very clearly says in this one, right? It's mainly talks about the nature of the soul. So like he is talking, it's indestructible, it's imperishable, characteristics, or, you know, he says about real nature of the soul. So we read, I think, one or two paragraphs. So, any points on that? Did you note down any points on that?
So, what's the size of the soul?
1/10,000 of the tip of the head.
Okay. So, what's the significance of that? Like, knowing that what will happen to us? Like, what is the implication? One way, you know, we discussed that, right? Like, somebody asked, Prabhu only asked, right? Rajesh Prabhu asked, why, you know, the size, why is it here?
Yeah.
We discuss something, right? What's the, how we can apply? We know how tiny we are, right?
Yeah.
And Krishna is the one who, you know, he created all these souls, and if you just look at the sky itself, you'll be so bewildering, right?
True.
So vast, and you know, so many clouds, everything is there, and that is just, this is just one universe and one earth planet actually. Imagine one universe, so many planets, everything is floating. It's as if, you know, all the universe, all the universes are floating, or rather all the planetary systems are floating, as if, you know, you take a bag of mustard seeds and you just throw them up and they just hang there, and you know, they go in proper orbits. Everything, imagine, it's like that. Can so all these things are happening when just one Krishna, and we are just, you know, one small part of that, and we think, you know, we are great, we are God, all these things. So actually, very nice incident was there with Prabhupada. One very Prabhupada's like very dear servant, like very empowered and everything, his disciple. So, and gradually, you know, disciples show all different kinds of phases, right, in the course of devotion service. So sometimes you are puffed up, sometimes so many things. So one time something happened, so he had an argument with Prabhupada, like saying, you know, the other people, other his god brothers, like other disciples, they are not cooperating. I want to do in a particular way, particular service. They are not supporting me, and then he was complaining about them, something. So Prabhupada understood his mood, like that, you know, he's thinking is something great. So then Prabhupada explained, you know, he took the big chart actually first. So this is the, you know, all these universes are emanating from Mahavishnu, right? Within this one universe, there are 14 planetary systems. Within this planetary system, there is one earth planet. Within that earth planet, there are so many continents. Within that continent, you know, there is this US. Within this US, there is LA. Within this LA, there is a small temple. Within this temple, there is a small room. In that, there is this small disciple. He thinks I am great. So they immediately, he's like, whoa. Like, he understood, okay, this is my position. I am like, you know, humble servant, nothing more than that. So, now sometimes it creates awe actually, when we know how great is Krishna. That's why even to, for a devotion, see, for devotion, why do we need somebody to be great? If you see Yashoda Maya's pastimes, or you know Gopa's pastimes, right? Their pastimes are in complete intimate love, without any awe and reverence. Like, you know, as Krishna is my friend, Krishna is my child. That is, you know, the pure nature of love, and that's what Krishna likes most actually. But then, in order to come to that platform, first we need to understand how great Krishna is. Because otherwise, it's superficially we think Krishna is our friend. I think we bring him down basically, instead of, you know. So that's why in many chapters in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains about his opulence. There is a chapter dedicated to opulence of the Absolute, where Krishna says, you know, I am this, I am sun, I am moon, I am, you know, I am placed in the water, and universal form, especially that chapter also. Krishna shows how ferocious he is in the form of universal form, how he devours everyone. So these things will bring about, you know, the feeling that, you know, he is great, I am small. So then if he is great and he can control everything, he can protect me. So I can put myself under his shelter. Not like, you know, out of fear, oh, he is great, so I have to, you know, surrender. It's not like that. It's like, you know, he is great, but at the same time, he is well-wishing friend. He wants my best, right? So it's okay. I can entrust myself in his hands. So that gives that faith. That's how, you know, devotion service increases with why, you know, we have so many systematic courses of, you know, studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. Why is it necessary? For bhakti, usually we have a notion, bhakti sentiment, right? We just go do something like that, and, you know, bhakti will grow. But why it's important to study? Exactly, because then you will be fixed in knowledge that you will not be shaken in your surrender. Otherwise, you know, sentimentally you just start chanting and, you know, okay, now I'm surrendering completely to Krishna. Something happens, you don't know how to deal with it. But, you know, by from Shastras and from examples of devotees in Bhagavatam, if we learn, you know, how they went through situations, how they were faithful, you know, how they dealt with the situations, then we know, you know, this is how we should follow. So it's also important to study. That's why we are trying to make the attempt to study.
So why is it said imperishable? Why the particularly word imperishable is used? And it's compared to the entire body, right? That which pervades the entire body. So is body imperishable?
Body is perishable.
Referring to soul here. And the consciousness of the soul pervades our body.
So what pervades? Consciousness. And what is consciousness? It's the
symptom of soul.
Symptom of the presence of the soul, right? And also Prabhupada talks about the spreading of consciousness is limited within one's own body. Basically the Sanskrit word is sarvam idam tatam, right?
Mm.
So basically as a living individual we are conscious of our own body or our pains and pleasure, but that's called limited consciousness. But the Lord is unlimitedly conscious, so he is aware of each and every living entity. As how can be aware of each and every, how is that possible? How is he aware of everybody's consciousness? So he presents, he expands, like Vishnu, right? Mahavishnu, then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, then Shirodayaksha Vishnu. So basically Shirodakshaya Vishnu is the one who expands as a Paramatma in everyone's heart. So he's present. Like how, right? We are soul and super soul is present besides each other. And Prabhupada gives example. I don't know whether in this one or not. Yeah, like
or trees too.
Like you know, tree on a tree, there are two birds sitting. One is soul and one is super soul. So the right now the soul is looking away from the
eating
bird. It's just eating whatever comes, fruits, it's just eating. And it's not listening to the super soul, the other bird. So that's our condition now. But the super soul, it records everything. It knows everything, whatever we do, everything, that's where Paramatma records, and that's how we get our next body and all. We'll discuss, I think Prabhupada is going to discuss that more. So we should never think, you know, we are super conscious. We are just our own body. And in the next continuation, Prabhupada discusses about the size of the soul. That as we discussed, you know, you take a tip of hair, divide into 100 parts, and such parts you divide into 100 parts again. So we can read from paragraph, I think, 2. Right? Therefore, the individual particle. We'll start from therefore, the individual particle.
Therefore, the individual particle of spirit soul is a spiritual atom smaller than the material atoms. And such atoms are innumerable. Such atoms are innumerable. This very small spiritual spark is the basic principle of the material body, and the influence of such a spiritual spark is spread all over the body as the influence of the active principle of some medicine spreads throughout the body. This current of the spirit soul is felt all over the body as consciousness, and that is the proof of the presence of the soul. Any layman can understand that the material body minus consciousness is a dead body. And this consciousness cannot be revived in the body by any means of material administration. Therefore, consciousness is not due to any amount of material combination, but to the spirit soul.
Yeah, true. So Prabhupada was giving a lecture in, I think, California, Berkeley, University of Berkeley in California. So then one scientist was also talking. And he was telling, you know, it's all body is made up of material chemicals. Then Prabhupada told him, the Prabhupada disciple was also he was also a chemist, PhD scientist at that time. His name is Swarup Damodar Maharaj. So then he told, we give all the chemicals, the scientist, he's a Nobel Prize chemist or scientist. Then Prabhupada asked him, or his disciple asked him, I'm going to give you all the chemicals, can you create a life? Then that scientist told, no, we cannot create now, we are working on it. Maybe in future we are working on it. So based on that, they created some cryogenic something. I don't know whether you have heard of that. There is something called cryogenic centers, where the people pay money before they die. They pay a lot of money, so they can restore their body in the very sub-zero, very cold nitrogen gas temperature. Right? They store it. So they pay millions of dollars saying, you know, in future when you find some medicine or anything to revive the body, to bring back life, mm-hmm. at that time you can bring. There are centers like that. They charge millions of dollars for that. Yeah, then the scientist said, no, we cannot, even if you bring chemicals. That's what Prabhupada is saying. And this consciousness cannot be revived in body by any means of material administration. So, unconscious is not due to any amount of material combination, but to the spirit soul.
See, one another thing Prabhupada was saying is like, okay, how hard we try, let's say somehow magically we create one maybe, you know, machine or one kind of living entity looking like living entity. But the magic of Krishna's creation is these entities which he created, they can keep on reproducing and creating entities which are similar to them. Like, you know, like kids, right?
It's complete.
So these complete units, they can produce their own, you know, like fully complete units. But these machines, if you create one, can they create like that?
And also Prabhupada said, you know, the best machine is our heart. The day it's born, it starts beating until the day you die. It never stops. If it stops, that means you're dead. Basically, it said that, you know, it can go on until it's built for like 100 years average. The heart is the machine continuously beating without any breakdown or any
No batteries.
No.
Sometimes when you think of this whole thing, it seems like Maya, seems like not very real, right? In the sense, like the heart and a child from somewhere, we have the child is born and then it grows up. It's like a kind of a dream kind of thing. So does when you think too much, it kind of feels like, oh my God, what is this?
We cannot fathom that, you know, the so much complicated the system is built.
Yeah, I know.
You will not be able to.
See, imagine even it's small and it has everything. You know, heart, hands, legs, eyes. It has propensity to have, you know, produce children. Imagine, can't even imagine. Oh my God.
Prabhupada gives many examples. Like, for example, he takes, you know, this. For example, the Boeing and all, they make aeroplanes, right? So it's basically a replication of a small fly. With the wings, right? It's just like that. He says, you know, so they try to produce something, then it flows in the, like it goes in the air, right? The flight takes off and it goes in the air. But there is always a possibility of crashing. It's a danger. So whatever we create something materially ourselves, there is always a point where, you know, it can fail. It can create danger. Yeah, it's very amazing.
That's why olden days they travelled on birds, like, you know, Garuda, all these things, right? That's they were the natural vehicles.
Prabhupada says that they used to sit on Garuda, they used to go on. Yeah, they never failed.
Or Swan,
Brahma, like that. Because of our, you know, education, we cannot connect to the how it was the culture.
Yeah, and they said supposed to be more scientifically advanced with all these things, you know. Especially Narada Muni, right? With the flick of a second, he could go anywhere. Like that, their consciousness was so powerful and all those things. We think if we go, you know, in a flight from here to India to here to India, we feel, oh, we have accomplished something. And do so much ordeal of, you know, sitting for so many hours. And
even say, like, when Ganesh head was removed, they replaced elephant's head, right? So even we can keep, at that time also there was, you could do
yes,
like
surgeries,
but,
yeah.
Replacement,
I know.
Plastic surgery.
Yeah.
So, and also Prabhupada gives example of how the medicine, right? Active principle of some medicine spreads throughout the body. So then, let's see. Probably let's read. I think we'll discuss one about this. We'll finish reading.
In the Mukunda Upanishad, the measurement of the atomic... In the Mundaka Upanishad. The measurement of the atomic spirit soul is further explained. The soul is atomic in size and can be perceived by perfect intelligence. This atomic soul is floating in the five kinds of air,
prana, apana, vyana, samana and udana is situated within the heart and spreads its influence all over the body of the embodied living entities. When the soul is purified from the contamination of the five kinds of material air, its spiritual influence is exhibited. The Hatha Yoga system is meant for controlling the five kinds of air circulates, encircling the pure soul by different kinds of sitting postures, not for any material profit, but for liberation of the minute soul from the entanglement of the material atmosphere. So the constitution of the atomic soul is admitted in all Vedic literatures, and it is also actually felt in the practical experience of any sane man. Only the insane man can think of this atomic soul as all-pervading Vishnu Tattva.
So what does that mean actually? What is it said? Only the insane man can think of this atomic soul as all-pervading
Vishnu Tattva.
So what does it refer to? That particular line. What is Prabhupada saying?
He's saying it's different. That is identity, separate existence.
Yes. Got? Anybody got? Basically, Prabhupada is differentiating between
soul and super
soul. Soul and the super soul, Vishnu Tattva. So we are not Vishnu Tattva. We don't belong to Vishnu Tattva category. Vishnu Tattva category is Paramatma, basically as a Lord, right? He's present. But we are limited consciousness, so is that's very differentiating. We are atomic.
What are the five kinds of air? Prana, apana?
That's Hatha Yoga. I didn't try to research on that. It's like, you know, very detailed level. I didn't want to go to that level.
So what does it mean? Only insane man can think of atomic soul as all pervading Vishnu Tattva. So
actually, it's crazy man who thinks he is God.
Okay.
That's what it said. Like insane is crazy, and who thinks is Vishnu Tattva. Mm. He belongs to Vishnu Tattva.
That's why all these Mayavadis, they say, right? Now we are covered, we think, you know, we are separate. But once we are covering is finished, then we will become God, right? Mm. So he's not referring to Mayavadis especially. Because it's very obvious that, you know, we are all only conscious of our bodies, that too to the limited extent, right? We don't even know how our digestive system works. If something is not working, like cough or cold, we don't even know why it's happening. So many things we are not even aware. But still we think, you know, we know everything.
And also Prabhupada talks about yoga system, right? Hatha Yoga. That's where they practice all the different, you know, bringing the air together. They control the movement of the air.
Mm.
All those things. That's a very difficult one, but it can be done that time. Prabhu, I can, if you want to read more, I can find out and I can send it in the email.
That's right.
Yeah, if you want to know. I didn't want to research on that one.
I think on these five, they are the five digestion, right? Prana is the air, the sakna, the respiratory.
Yes.
Apana is the excretory. Dhyana is the circulation. Udana is
Is that chakras, something they say, right?
Just like the digestion and this thing, and everything is happening because of the air.
Yeah.
It's balanced.
Because there is, without air, everything is gone, right?
That's correct.
There's no air. It's not going to work.
Yeah, no, that's why it's air. So how important it is, I will tell you one small, maybe I'll put short story. So what happened is in Ramayana, right? Hanuman was a small baby. He was born to Anjana, like a monkey, right? Like even he was born. So then he had a flying power because he was so powerful. He's a son of Vayu also, right? He's a son of, so he had a power of flying. So when he was a baby, so what he used to do is, you know, whatever he sees, he used to jump to eat that. So then one day he saw the sun. So he jumped, you know, chasing the sun. Then the same time, Rahu, another planet, right? It was eclipsing the sun. That was the time which eclipsed, right? That's a boon the Vayu, Rahu had to close the sun. Then Rahu came in between. Then Hanuman thought that's one more fruit. He thought it's a fruit, so he started chasing the Rahu. Then Rahu, you know, he ran and he went to Indra. Indra was the king of demigods. He's the king. Then Indra was sitting on Airavata, his elephant. Then Hanuman thought that's also a fruit, white fruit, because Airavata is a white. So he thought that's a white fruit. So he started chasing Airavata. Then, of course, you know, Airavata started begging for help, seeking help. Then Indra, what he did is he took his
thunderbolt.
So it, the Anuman on his chin. So that's why his Anuman is broken chin. It here, right? His chin, it became like big, like this Anuman one swell. So then he fell unconsciousness to the ground. Then Vayu got very
mad.
Father, right? Anuman's father. He got very angry. Then what he did is he withdrew all the air. He is the controller of the air, right? So he withdrew everything. Then what happens without air? Yeah, basically every movement, as Mataji said, right? Everything, we need air to meet. That's like a cushion for even to move this thing, right? There's air in between. Otherwise, we cannot move. So then everything became stagnant. Nobody could move, nobody can, you know, do. Then they pray to Brahma, finally to come and convince Vayu. Then Brahma came, he convinced Vayu. Then Vayu again he started circulating the air. Then of course Brahma, he brought back Hanuman to life. And that's the time when all the demigods, Indra, Brahma, everybody gave different boons. And he became, as a kid, he became so powerful because of so many boons, right? So then he started becoming mischief, became very mischievous, Hanuman. Then whenever any pujas, everything is going on, rishis and all, he used to go and he used to spoil this. Then that's the time they all came together and they said, we'll give a curse to him, Hanuman, so that he forgets whatever power he has. So he'll forget.
Until somebody reminds,
when the time comes, in service of Lord Ram, somebody reminds, then that's the time he will use it, those powers. That's why when everybody was in the shore of Kanyakumari, right? Everybody was waiting. And everybody was telling, I can jump one yojana, I can jump 15 yojana. And who is the leader of the Wali's son?
Angada
said, he was more powerful, right? He said he will jump, whatever, the 200, I forgot the total.
Yojanas.
To Lanka. So he said, I can go, and I cannot come back. Then Jamavan is the very oldest person, right? So Jamavan said, I used to go around the world any number of times. I could fly. He was so powerful, Jamavan. But now I have become a very old man. I cannot go. I cannot do anything now. But this Hanuman can do. Then Hanuman, when he reminded that, Hanuman started growing. Because he had the power, unlimited power. That's the time he started growing big. He just one jump, he went to the Lanka. It's very sweet, yeah. So Prabhupada talks about Tata Yoga. Mainly the yoga people also they do, but it's a difficult task to control all the air. And when they leave the body, the air passes from the, I think somewhere here.
Soul.
They just release the air from there. That's how they get liberated. Follow. Okay.
The influence of the atomic soul can be spread all over a particular body. According to Mundaka Upanishad, this atomic soul is situated in the heart of every living entity. Mm-hmm. And because the measurement of the atomic soul is beyond the power of appreciation of the material scientists, some of them assert foolishly that there is no soul. The individual atomic soul is definitely there in the heart along with the super soul, and thus all the energies of body movement are emanating from this part of the body.
So we know that, as Prabhupada is saying, so the soul is situated in the heart of every living entity, and that's the center of power, right? Like we have a battery system, right? You have a battery, car, it's somewhere in the front, the battery. But it circulates electricity everywhere, right? That's how through the wire or whatever, it circulates the electricity to make everything work. So same thing here. So the body, the spirit soul, it sits in the body, on art of the living entity. So it sits in the art of the living entity and it uses the... So it sends the energy.
It's 8:07.
the marketing. That's okay. So that's what Prabhupada is saying. So that's how Superman, thus all the energies of the bodily movement are emanating from this part of the body mainly. And how does it sense energy? Through what medium?
Super.
We know consciousness is, it's part of the soul, like that's the symptom of the presence of the soul. But how do we feel conscious? Like what's the medium it sense the energy or the consciousness?
Nose.
How are we conscious?
The blood.
Nose.
Blood.
Blood.
Yeah. Corpuscles. So, yeah, let's read from there, yeah.
The corpuscles which carry the oxygen from lungs gather energy from the soul. When the soul passes away from this position, the activity of the blood generating fusion ceases. Medical science accepts the importance of the red corpuscles, but it cannot ascertain that the source of the energy is the soul. Medical science, however, does admit that the heart is the seat of all energies of the body.
From, because that's where, right, the blood, everything. I don't know exactly how the heart works because I didn't study that. But that's where I think, you know, oxygen mixes in different chambers or something, then it pushes away. Is it true?
The blood, the bad blood, red blood cells, and then the purified blood goes from
the heart, right? So basically,
blood
it starts
is pushed
from the
to
heart.
The lungs,
no.
And then the good blood from the lungs is taken up and pushed to the rest of the body. So it's the brain.
And
lungs,
lungs,
right?
Lungs is for the breathing.
Lungs
is only air.
No, I'm thinking
but
the
oxygen
bad
comes
blood
through.
Also
that's
the
yeah,
air.
The air comes through the lungs.
Lungs
yeah.
is the air.
Yeah, I think it
is
from the
brain,
so it actually picks up the
ventricle and
auricle.
So basically, we have four chambers, right? So somewhere it happens all the time. So basically everything starts from there. The basically the corpuscles or whatever red blood cells, they get energy from
it.
It's so scientific. Yeah.
Such atomic particles of the spirit whole are compared to the sunshine molecules. In the sunshine, there are innumerable radiant molecules. Similarly, the fragmental parts of the Supreme Lord are atomic sparks of the rays of the Supreme Lord, called by the name Prabha or superior energy. So whether one follows Vedic knowledge or modern science, one cannot deny the existence of the spirit soul in the body. And the science of the soul is explicitly described in Bhagavad Gita by the personality of Godhead himself.
Now you know, did you know the meaning of your name, Mataji?
Prabha. The meaning of the name, I know it's the, like that's
light.
Why they say Prabhatavela, right? The morning sun. But I didn't know it is the superior.
See, Prabhupada is here. So you belong to the superior nature. Krishna superior nature.
That's why Mataji knows the word bread.
So is it clear like that? It's very scientific, like you know, the RBCs carries the consciousness or the energy to all the parts of the body. So wherever there is blood circulation, that's where you feel conscious. Like you know, you prick, you feel it. That's the consciousness. But wherever there is no blood circulation, you don't feel the conscious. And like for example,
nails,
hair, we don't have, but that doesn't have consciousness because there is no blood circulation. So when the body dies, or when the living entity the body dies, then that's why everything becomes numb. So there is no consciousness. And Prabhupada says also that you know when the body dies, the blood turns into which color? When the body usually the body turns into the blood color?
Blue, white.
Mm-hmm. Prabhupada says the blood becomes white. So I'm not sure.
But
I have not seen
anything. Blood doesn't have any color, right? Does it have
color? Yeah, that's what proves.
It is a pale.
It doesn't have any color.
Red.
Just
red, right?
Red
like a
red.
Like
it looks red, but scientifically.
Blood doesn't have color. It's a red blood corpuscle.
Corpuscle makes
it
look
red.
No, that makes sense. Because
plasma.
It's white.
Blood is plasma.
Yeah. Oh. So it makes sense. It's a white color or whatever that. No color. Oh. When you then the red RBC cells are present,
mm-hmm.
that makes it look white.
That makes
or
it
makes it red.
Red.
And when there is no RBCs, there is no consciousness or energy being passed through, then it becomes or colorless, whatever it is. So is it good? Any questions on this so far? There are so many points, but yeah, you can just slowly you can try to.
So what is heart and soul like?
No, go ahead.
So what's the relationship between heart and the soul?
Soul lives in the heart.
So yes. So seat of the soul is the heart. Like so then what about, you know, heart transplant? When somebody does heart transplant, what happens?
What happens?
You get another person's soul.
Soul comes back again into the heart.
No, many people are going to ask if you tell them that soul is present in the heart. So what happens to the heart transplant?
Soul again
so
comes back into the heart that is placed.
Essentially, it just changes the seat.
Hmm.
It's like I'm sitting from this chair to that chair, that's all. But otherwise, same soul. You cannot say, you know,
yeah.
I
so
replace
it's not
this
that,
my soul
you know,
with somebody else.
It's not that we, somebody, you know, you take somebody's heart, that soul will come to you. You will become a different person. No. It's like your passenger. You change from one car seat to another car seat. Like that. Because it's a passenger too, right? Super soul and we are all passengers. As a soul, super soul. Super soul is sitting as a passenger, seeing what you are doing. So when, you know, this person has to go, then he just changes the car seat. Then once you get a new one, then that person again, super soul comes and sits into that car. Okay, you're changing the car seat.
Other question, you're talking about the heart transplant. There is artificial hearts too, right? Mechanical hearts.
Yeah, they, maybe they can sit
in
there also. No, really, why? But so we cannot, many times I heard, we cannot limit the opulences or the energies of the Lord. Basically, we, of course, because of our, you know, limited this thing, we try to fit everything into that.
The artificial hearts never stop.
They may.
Artificial hearts never stop. Oh, it's actually.
That runs in battery or what?
It's not a battery and so on. There are very few people in the world actually get that. But if you can't get a heart transplant, you can have artificial heart.
Artificial heart.
Oh, really? It goes, keeps on going.
No
battery.
More than, but you can have artificial heart.
No battery, I think.
They charge it.
Oh,
it should be some.
They have
sure.
Redundant parallel system. One fails, other fails.
I don't know.
Anyway, at the end they'll get some reason why a person died.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Anything we make cannot be perfect. There has to be something. Just
so there is also the pacemakers, right? The people whose heart get out of rhythm. So
beat.
They get a pacemaker, so the pacemaker actually goes and makes sure the heart is actually has got electrical nerve center, pulse. So it actually gives pulses at regular intervals.
Mm-hmm.
So the heart keeps beating at a particular pace.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, that electrical thing gets out of sync. So they, it's called arrhythmia. So actually, they get anxious and their the heart starts beating faster.
Dick Cheney.
So, So for that, they actually go and fit a pacemaker. So they actually go and put electrical signals at specific intervals inside the heart. So there's that maybe the electrical signals are coming from the soul.
The energy, maybe that's what it was. Prabhu, you had some question? You yourself about to say something.
No, mine is, I'm just thinking, kind of, it's actually a divergent question, but you know, the concept of the soul, all, do all religions have it? What we
so,
say?
Yeah. So everybody believes it. But what I heard is, for example, you know, Christians, first they never used to believe in the soul. Then after they started saying only men has soul, women doesn't have a soul. That's why they didn't give voting rights and all before. Then after that they realize, you know, they are also part of the soul. Then now they believe, at least most of them. So they believe there is a soul, but they don't believe in reincarnation. So they say, you know, we just enjoy one life here.
In Islam, does it also believe in a soul?
I think so, that's what, if I remember, yeah. I can find out, but I think, yeah, that's what they believe in. So.
They all believe in heavens, right? Everybody.
Yeah, everybody wants to go to heaven.
Probably they don't know about background.
There are a lot of things which is, you know, common, along general things, you know. You have to be good with others, no morality, everything is, there are a lot of common things. But there are some differences, yeah. Now that's why Christians don't believe animals doesn't have soul. they believe that. That's why they say, you know, killing them, it's okay. They don't believe the animals have a soul, so they kill. We'll go to text 18. अन्तवन्ता इमे देहा नित्यश्रुता शरीरिणः अनाशिनो प्राणेश्च तस्माद्युदय स्वपादः अन्तवन्ता इमे देहा नित्यश्रुता शरीरिणः अनाशिनो प्राणेश्च तस्माद्युदय स्वपादः.
The material body of the indestructible, immeasurable and eternal living entity is sure to come to an end. Therefore, fight, O descendant of Bharata. Purpose.
So what is here Krishna emphasizing to Arjuna?
The temporariness of life.
Mm. So like Bhishma, Dronacharya, everybody, they're anyway, they're sure, he's saying sure to come to an end.
Mm.
Therefore,
Krishna is fighting.
And we have heard many times, no? It's as sure as that. Yes. People use it many times. Yeah. Something, you know, if they are so sure that it's going to happen, they say as sure as death. Because now everybody knows that, you know, nobody can avoid. Mm-hmm. Okay, we can read the purpose.
The material body is perishable by nature. It may perish immediately or it may do so after 100 years. It is a question of time only. There is no chance of maintaining it indefinitely. But the spirit soul is so minute that it cannot even be seen by an enemy, to say nothing of being killed. As mentioned in the previous verse, it is so small that no one can have any idea how to measure its dimensions. So from both viewpoints, there is no cause of lamentation, because the living entity, as he is, cannot be killed, nor can the material body be saved for any length of time or permanently protected. The minute particle of whole spirit acquires this material body according to his work, and therefore observance of religious principles should be utilized. In the Vedanta Sutra, the living entity is qualified as life because he is part and parcel of the supreme life. As sunlight maintains the entire universe, so the light of the soul maintains this material body. As soon as the spirit soul is out of this material body, the body begins to decompose. Therefore, it is the spirit soul which maintains this body. The body itself is unimportant. Arjuna was advised to fight and not sacrifice the cause of religion for material body consideration.
No, it says Prabhupada is again re-emphasizing that material body is not permanent. It's going to die.
See, as soon as the spirit soul is out of this material body, the body begins to decompose. So therefore, the spirit soul which maintains the body. But other way is also true actually. If suppose there is an accident or something where the body becomes dysfunctional, soul can no longer stay there. So that's why soul leaves.
Right.
It's forced to leave because soul is there in that particular body to enjoy particular things, right? As long as the body becomes, you know, incapable, it's time for soul to leave.
See, body has a lot of desires. It's unlimited desires.
Soul has
unlimited desire. So when the body, it takes body based on, you know, our desires and karma. So it stays and it enjoys, it tries to enjoy using the senses.
Mm.
So when the body, you know, it knows that, you know, it's not able to enjoy, then automatically it leaves the body and it goes. So it takes another body. It changes based on the, you know, desires.
See, the main thing here is the minute particle of the whole spirit acquires this material body according to his work. So according to the, you know, our karma, all the activities, we get a particular type of body. Like here it's also in respect to, you know, human form versus all the other animal species, everything. and therefore observance of religious principles should be utilized. So, you know, at least in this life we should do proper work so that, you know, next life we get, you know, better body or body more conducive to continue at least human body.
Basically, this life is preparation for next next life. That's how it works. Whatever we do, we are not going to, you know, we are going to get it next time when we die. So based on all the accumulation of things, pious, impious activity, you will be awarded a body. Out of 8.4 million.
Even just in dreams, we can see, right? Sometimes weird dreams we get, like, you know, as if we are experiencing, or we, at least we can see, you know, these desires we have. Right? Subtly, you know, daytime, okay, we try to engage ourselves so much in devotion service, you know, as best as possible. But nighttime is out of control, right? Then you get all these weird things. It's like, oh my God, I have, you know, I've done so many things, you know, so many things are there still. They're yet to be, you know, fructified. And
one day, you know, the tiger will be chasing, right, in dreams, sometimes. I'm pretty sure some people, that, you know, tiger will be chasing, then immediately you get up, there won't be anything. And sometime, you know, you'll be a king in a dream. You'll have so much opulence and you get up. Prabhupada says, you know, you'll be a king in the dream. Then morning when you get up, you have to go to your 9 to 5 work job. That's how dream, you're in a dream state.
But not everybody remembers the dream, right? I'm sure I dream, but I don't remember any dream.
Oh, that's why, actually that's a mercy of Krishna. What happens if you remember the dreams?
No, dream I don't. I feel like in the morning I don't have any dream.
No, that's why you don't. Krishna gives the forgetfulness.
Oh, so nobody remembers
anything. Some people remember.
They just not, they forget. Again, next day you'll forget. You'll forget. Maybe, you know, some people will have a slight this thing. Again, you come to your normal activities, you'll forget that. Why is the reason? What's the reason for that?
Or more than that, actually, some people may ask, okay, soul has been going to different lives, right? In each life, I've done so many things, right? So why can't I remember? If I remember what all I did, this life I'm not going to do that mistake, somebody will say. No, if I know last life I did this, I got this punishment. So this life, I'm not going to do that mistake. So why can't I remember all the things in my previous life? Somebody will ask this question, right?
Yeah.
So in that context, what is the answer we should give? Like, how is it beneficial for the soul to forget things?
It's the same thing as a soul, like a dream. The same thing here in the, it's a bigger. So what's
is it beneficial or is it advantageous or no?
So is it beneficial if you remember the previous life, so you don't repeat this life? Maybe the last time.
No? Scary.
What happened?
Yeah, you always think of that. I did so many mistakes.
We cannot leave even 1 second.
Yeah.
If you see what our previous life, if you, you know, try to bring and you try to remember, you cannot leave this life. Whatever life you have, you will not be able to leave.
Yeah.
Because we have done so many things.
Death also,
yeah.
Everything, right? If you
want,
everything, little bit,
died,
Krishna will,
you know,
give everything.
How many people attacked us, or, you know, what all the things we did, and so
anything,
crazy.
Anything, you know, it's.
Actually, some people, you know, they are, I know, blessed or non-blessed, I don't know. They know their past lives. They suffer terribly. Because every minute they remember what they did, you know. So, they go crazy, actually.
Yeah, Krishna gives some people that remembrance. Yeah, you don't know for good or bad, but he gives that ability. So, they can bring. There are a lot of people, you know, beyond. What do they say? There is some scientific word for that, actually. They use something to bring back life, previous life's memory. No, but anyway, yeah, so it's good Krishna gives that forgetfulness. As a super soul, he gives forgetfulness, remembrance, and knowledge. So good, we don't remember anything. At least peacefully we can, you know, otherwise we'll be so anxious. Day-to-day life itself is so anxious. Then if you have all previous life, then...
But then how we can be careful? Like somebody said, you know, if I remember, I can be careful so I don't make mistakes. So now we don't remember. So what is the solution for us to be careful? How we can be still careful?
Not committing mistakes.
How will you get knowledge, I'm saying?
For the next life. If you do good things in this life, then...
No, in this life, you are living in this life. You want to have some guidance. What is good, what is bad. How do you get the guidance?
Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
From
Bhagavad Gita.
Study
scriptures.
what?
Yeah,
the solution
correct.
Is here.
Yes.
Correct. So what they're thinking is like, what should we do? So we should do akarma or good things. That's what they say. But anyway, I think if I know previous karma, that is, see, the one advantage is we know for sure that life is there.
Punarjanma
is there. So there's no ambiguity. Everyone will know that. There's no confusion. Then they know
That's exactly the point. See, we don't have to personally experience to believe things. See, our principle is like, okay, I have to see it, I have to go through it, then only I'll believe it. So we have to come from that platform to a platform that, you know, I trust the Shastras, and just by hearing from the Shastras, my belief, the system will build.
It's not about us, Matri, but in general, right?
No, what are the four categories of people? Four or three?
Four.
I forget, can you say so many things? There are four types of people, right?
Yeah.
Who are they? Quickly you can tell. I just said, if you remember.
It's to see, to believe it. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, the four types of people who will, you know, how they get the knowledge.
But so who is the worst person? Who is the worst is?
Who experiences but again doesn't.
Again, he doesn't learn from experience.
Yeah.
But the best one is?
Just
by hearing, you know, they understand. They doesn't have to go through it to experience, and you know, you don't have to.
See, sometimes we feel like all these brahmacharis and sannyasis, they are, at least in this life, they are not married. But actually, brahmacharis from Chowpatti, they come, right? They give classes about the grihastha life, how to take care of children, everything. So somebody may think, you know, this life they didn't even go through anything. How they can, you know, they are qualified to teach. But they have realized knowledge from the previous lives, because of their spiritual practices, and by the spiritual practices they have realized knowledge. So they don't have to go through everything to say, you know, if you touch this you'll get fire, you know, touch, do this. We are in that position where
we'll not be able to finish
until
our life.
You know, that's why grihastha ashram is there. So practically go through the 50 whatever years, then realize, okay, married life is finished, then go to the next stage. That's for us, all of us, natural gradual way. But there is a way, you can, through Shastras, you can get the realization as well.
Okay. We'll do text 19, that's
a small. You made a comment about why it's good you don't remember your dreams.
Yeah.
Why is that? You didn't...
No, for example, you remember, you know, all this, same thing applies here. If you remember next day morning, you get up.
Right.
So you remember the dream that, you know, there was a tiger or something was chasing, or you are in a war with somebody, or, you know. So you're that moment, for example, for us, you need to chant morning. So if you try, you know, if you recall all that, then you will not be able to chant. So Krishna, you know, makes you forget. That. Yeah. Then that way you're not doing it.
But actually, in that sense, this life is a dream. We think it's so real that,
right,
you know, every minute, oh, this is my life, this is all these things. That's why they say, you know, when we go to Krishna promises, when you come to me, you don't come back again, right? Promises, when you come to spiritual world, you don't come back again. Then somebody asked Prabhupada, like, you know, how is it possible? Like, maybe again I will choose that, you know, it's all because of free will, right? Once we made a mistake, so again when we go back, again we can make a mistake and come back again. And Prabhupada said, you will remember your life in the material world as a bad dream. The whole thing, whatever we went through, the whole, so many lives, everything, the bad dream, and you feel like, oh, I don't want to go there. It's like that.
So many times we use word illusion, right? Illusion means it's basically it doesn't exist. But Prabhupada, the definition of illusion is that thinking something is permanent or for, you know, it forever. That's very material body. We are in, Prabhupada says, we are in illusion. Why does he say that? Because we think we are material body. So that's what illusion is meant for. You think something real. But it's temporary. It's not that it doesn't exist. Illusion means general conception is, it's nothing is there, it doesn't exist.
It's like the 3D movies, right? It's effect of 3D, but really it's not 3D, it's like that.
Something.
It's not like that. The body is there, you know.
The body is there, we go through the pain.
All those things,
yeah.
Yeah.
We feel
the
it.
Mirage, they give the example of mirage, right?
In the desert.
There's water there when you are driving,
yeah,
and see the mirage. There's water. But when you go closer, there's nothing.
Yeah, in the road when you are driving in summer, you see steam, right, from the road. Mm. You see some steam coming. Just.
The proper definition of Maya. Maya means that which is not, that which is not real. It's Maya.
So So let's do text 19. That's a small one. Let's recite Sanskrit.
Yaenam viti antaram yaschainam manyate hatam ubhautam nijanito nayam manti manyate yaenam viti antaram yaschainam manyate hatam ubhautam nijanito nayam manti manyate.
It's very confusing verse.
Neither,
let's see, somebody understands it in one shot.
Neither he who thinks the living entity the slayer, nor he who thinks it slain is in knowledge. For the self slays not, nor is slain.
I can read it again.
Neither he who thinks the living entity the slayer, nor he who thinks it slain is in knowledge. For the self slays not, nor is slain. So the self slays not, so it doesn't kill and it doesn't get killed.
Mm-hmm.
So he who thinks the living
entity.
Yeah,
he thinks he's the killer.
He's
and
not
he
in knowledge.
Think he's killed, both of them are ignorance.
Basically, soul he cannot kill. And so that two things, whoever kills or who thinks killed, they are not both in not in proper knowledge. For the self slays.
So everybody got this one, or should
for
we go phrase by
for
phrase?
For the self.
Okay, let's do it once.
Read the purport.
No, one second. Let's do this phrase by phrase.
Mm-hmm.
So neither he who thinks a living entity the slayer. So slayer means killing, okay? So the person who thinks the living entity is the killer. And also, he who thinks it slain means the person who thinks that it can be killed. Both of them are not in knowledge. So the person who thinks that the living entity can kill somebody, or the person who thinks that the living entity can be killed, both of them are in ignorance. Because the soul slays not, means the soul cannot kill, nor can be killed, nor is slain, means nor can be killed.
I think the living entity is confusing here, because the living entity is actually the soul.
Yeah.
That's what, if we say the living entity is the soul, then
the person. In this case, I think they are talking about the person.
Yeah.
It's other person. It's like one person, second person,
right?
Second person. Two people. He who thinks the living entity.
Right.
Means I am thinking that
if
you know you
Arjuna,
can kill.
Yeah, Arjuna killed. If you think Arjuna, the living entity killed. Somebody.
You're also in ignorance.
Yeah. If you think he killed somebody or he thinks the other person was killed.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You're.
Read the purport also. Purport. When an embodied living entity is hurt by fatal weapons, it is to be known that the living entity within the body is not killed. The spirit soul is so small that it is impossible to kill him by any material weapon, as will be evident from subsequent verses. Nor is the living entity killable because his spiritual constitution. What is killed or is supposed to be killed is the body only. This, however, does not at all encourage killing of the body. The Vedic injunction is Ma himsyat sarva bhutani, never commit violence to anyone. Nor does understanding that the living entity is not killed encourage animal slaughter. Killing the body of anyone without authority is abominable and punishable by the law of the state as well as the law of the Lord. Arjuna, however, is being engaged in killing for the principle of religion and not whimsically.
Mm-hmm. So first section of the paragraph, purport. Prabhupada is explaining the verse, right? He was saying,
yeah.
You know, the first of all, you know, any weapon, whatever weapon you can use, it cannot kill the soul. Because soul is so tiny, it cannot be killed, right? At the same time, not only that, constitutionally, soul is not killable. Later on, Krishna tells the characteristics of soul, you know. Soul cannot be withered by wind, it cannot be burned by fire. Because it's spirit, right? It cannot be affected by material things. So what is killed, what is supposed to be killed is just the body. So that is the explanation of the verse itself. Now Prabhupada is careful and is saying, you know, somebody can exploit this verse and say, you know, nobody is being killed, nobody can kill anyone. So, you know, I can just go on, you know, killing many people and say, you know, I didn't do it. Because this verse says, you know, I'm not a killer. So he's saying no, because everybody is not, never commit violence to anyone. That's the Vedic injunction. We should not commit violence to anyone, and also we don't have authority to kill anybody's body. So basically, body is given by nature, right, to the living entity in order to facilitate its desires. So nobody else has a right to take away that body from that living entity. Got it? So material nature is awarding based on the Lord. That's why, you know, even they say, you know, it's my child in the womb, so I have right to, you know, do anything. But that's not the thing, right? Because that soul is given that body by the Lord, so it's up to the Lord what to do. You cannot say it's my child. So that's why they say, you know, within the womb killing is not a problem, but once it comes out, it's a murder. The baby comes out and you kill the baby, you'll be put in jail. But inside, until at least they believe, until certain amount of months, they believe there is no consciousness, there is no soul. The science, they say, until 7 months, there is no soul. Ideally, but actually, we know from the beginning of the conception that there is soul. That's where the body is growing, right? But they say until 7 months, if you kill, there is no, you know, you are not really committing a murder. That's what they say, scientists. And now they made it even law, right? It's law. It's legal. To commit abortion, all those things. But actually, it's great violence.
So Prabhupada gives example of the soldiers, they go to the war. So there, they kill, right? In war, they kill. But they are not held responsible. They were given medals, right? When they come back, they give medals. But the same person, if he goes and kills anywhere else, he will put him in jail. So that's how. So one is here, the Lord himself is, according to the scripture, Lord was present. And that's why Arjuna, he was encouraging Arjuna to kill the enemies.
We heard one incident, right? One crazy guy, he went to the movie and, you know, he started shooting everyone, saying, you know, I have its right to choose who has to live, who doesn't have to live. I keep shooting like this, whoever lives, you know, I give them the right to live, otherwise I give them the right to die. So he says that, you know, I have the power to decide. So imagine, that's the thing, that's how people become
crazy.
That's
very insane.
Crazy. So that's what you should be.
So, if you don't have any questions, we'll stop here. We'll just take Association of Maharaj, I think he's giving some class or something. We'll just attend a few minutes.